last week we were discussing the name Hamakom. Right, Hamakom, we said the place. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, in chapter 2, Mishnah 18, the Pirkei Avot says, when you pray, do not make your prayers a set routine, but use it as compassion. You're praying for compassion, pleading. Tachanunim. Tachanunim is, tachanun, what's tachanun? Plead. You plead. Just like, say, a person goes to the king and pleads the king, please, king, please, king, help me. I need your help. So too, when a person prays to Hashem, a person's going to plead. Hashem, please help me. Hashem, please. That's what prayer is. Prayer is, Hashem, help me, please. Unfortunately, sometimes, nothing's wrong. We don't feel anything's wrong. So therefore, a person prays, but they don't really plead. So, it depends on what a person's feeling. The truth is, we need all the time. We just don't see the need, that's all. We need all the time. A person doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen the day after. Israel for sure needs our tefillah. Gaza right there. I don't know. It's crazy because you can celebrate and party in Israel. Right now they're partying in Israel. And the Gaza's right there. They're ready to throw missiles. Just had 700 missiles and all of a sudden 4 people died. And like it's forgotten already. It's like overnight people forget. It's like it's a party time. So every day we pray, we have to turn that prayer into pleading to Hashem. Hashem, please help me. Hashem, help me. So that's what Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot. When you pray, don't make your prayers a routine. I think it's Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, right? Don't make your prayers a routine. Make your prayers into a time for pleading. Hashem, help me, I need your help. Please help me. So beg for compassion. Beg for favor from Hamakom. That's the word used in the Mishnah. So the question is, what does the Mishnah use the word Hamakom? Use Hashem, use God's name. Hamakom, the place. For the place. So we said the same thing applies to the Haggadah. The Haggadah says, Baruch Hamakom Baruchu. Baruch Shinatan Torah Lemo Yisrael Baruchu. Baruch Hamakom. So why did the rabbis use the word Hamakom to denote Hashem? That's the question we had. So here there's a very, very deep answer. So the Mishnah says it pretty careful again. It says, be careful with the words of the rabbis. Because the words of the rabbis are like coals, hot coals. You ever seen a hot coal? It's burning hot. It's red. It's glowing. A red coal. It's red hot coals. You know, we don't see coals today because we don't use coals for our fire. Baruch Hashem. We're lucky. But you see a hot coal and you can take a picture of a hot coal. It's a burning hot. It's red. And if it's glowing, it's just glowing. It's glimmering. When it's poked and you stir it, it turns red hot. Burning hot. And the more the flame flares up, the more you can enjoy its light and bask in its warmth. But you cannot touch it. If you touch it, you're going to get burnt. That's the Midrash about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Midrash says, his Bilam was over there. Bilam says, watch out, this guy. This guy's going to be a king. You see this guy, he's going to take your crown. So he says, yeah, should we kill him? Well, let's do a test. The other wise men say, let's do a test. We'll put in front of him two choices. We'll put in front of him your crown, and we'll put in front of him glowing coals, hot coals, burning hot coals. What will the child take, the burning hot coals or the crown? Burning hot coals are beautiful, they're shiny. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take the crown, but the angel came and pushed him, took the coal and put it in his mouth, and that's how he stuttered. That's the Midrash. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu stutter? You heard that Midrash before? Interesting Midrash. Very interesting Midrash. You heard it before? Yeah. So that's how Moshe Rabbeinu started stuttering. So what do we see over there? A glowing coal, something beautiful. But a glowing coal is something that gold doesn't have. It keeps you warm. So it compares the rabbi's words to a glowing coal. What do you mean glowing coal? Enjoy it. Bask by the warmth of the coal, just like you bask by warmth. But be careful you don't touch it. Don't go too close to it. What does that mean, don't go too close? Because everything has a sod. Everything the rabbi said has a secret. When you learn the secret, you're going right into it. Don't go too close. Be careful about the secret. So that's how he explains this Midrash. Don't touch it. If you're not careful, you can burn yourself. What does that mean? Sometimes the rabbis say something short. They call Hashem Hamakom, the place. But in reality, there's something deeper and deeper inside it. Right? So there's something very deep in this concept of Hamakom. Something deeper in this glowing coal. The rabbis gave you a glowing coal. There's something very deep. You can get burnt if you go right inside it. So that's why a person's not allowed to learn Kabbalah until they're 40 years old, and they learned everything else. And, that's the Ramah, that's the Ashkenazi opinion. I mean, that's the opinion. Don't turn away completely from the rabbi's words, because then you won't get any wisdom at all. Just don't go too close to it. Don't burn yourself. So at a safe distance, no problem. But when you're too close, when you get too close, you learn the sod. That's the danger. So anyway, so what does it mean? The rabbi's called Hashem Hamakom. So it says in Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayivga Bamakom. He reached this place. Which place did he reach? Haram Moriah. The mountain of Moriah. That's where Avraham Avinu brought the ram. He took his son, Akedah, brought the ram. That's where Noah brought his sacrifice. That's where Adam HaRishon brought his sacrifice. Haram Moriah. That's where the Temple Mount. So why again we call the place Hamakom? The place Hamakom. Vayivga Bamakom. We call Hashem the Makom. Why is Hashem called the Makom? So the Gemara says because Hashem is the Makom of the world. Hashem is the place of the world. The place of the world is Hashem. What does that mean? The world rests in Hashem. What does that mean? Maybe the world rests in Hashem. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hareni na'at kevodecha. Show me your glory, Hashem. Show me your glory. So what does Hashem answer him? Yesh makom eti batzur. I have a place with me by the rock. Again, place. I have a place with me by the rock. There's a place with me. So what does that mean? The Midrash says, this is the Midrash Rabbah and Shemot. The place of the world is dependent on me, but I am not dependent on the place of the world. Yesh makom eti. The place of the world is iti, with me. But the world depends on me. I don't depend on the world. Yesh makom iti. The makom is dependent on me, but I'm not dependent on the makom. So what does that mean? Just as a place supports an object standing on it, Hashem is the place that sustains the world. Just like the book is resting on the table is holding the book, Hashem is the makom which holds the world. That's what it means. What does it mean deeply? It doesn't mean Hashem is physical. Chas v'shalom. It means Hashem is maintaining the world with His will. With His will. So this is, he says, if you remove, Hashem removes His attention from the, we talked about this last week, he said the analogy of dreaming. Right, you remember this? When a person dreams, when you're thinking about something, you ever had a nightmare? You had a nightmare? Yeah. What happens in a nightmare? The things in your nightmare, do they appear alive? Yeah. Do they appear real? Yeah. Who makes them real? Who's maintaining them in your dream? How? You! How? Because you're thinking about it.
But isn't it from the energy of
God? It could be, yes, but it's you that's... You're awake. You're awake in your dream. You're thinking about something in your dream. So it's your subconscious that's keeping you alive. What happens when you wake up? You just killed everything. You killed them. The best way to get rid of a dream, you just wake up. You know, you have a nightmare and then you wake your eyes. Oh, it was a nightmare. So alive. That lion looked so alive. That tiger was there. And I'm dreaming. Ah, I got scared. Huh? It's a dream. Baruch Hashem, it's a dream. So on one level, it was alive. You kept it alive in your dream. You have a good dream. You're keeping the dream alive. It's amazing. So when I was a kid, I found a very good technique. The technique was flip the channel. You have a bad dream? Hey, flip the channel. Let's dream about something else. So just like you can dream, it's amazing. The person's mind is able to conjure up things. Now think about Hashem. Hashem doesn't have a word mind. He's not a person. But he willed something to exist. It exists. And as we're all alive in Hashem's dream. Lehavdil. That's what it means. Hashem keeps the world alive through his thoughts. So just like we keep our dream alive inside our thoughts, Hashem keeps the world alive by his will. Let there be light. Boom, there's light. Huh? It's a very low-level Kabbalah. It's not Kabbalah. It's more. It's much lower level. It's more simplistic, right? In a sense. But we can understand the idea that Hashem wills the world to exist. That's pshat. Hashem wills the world. Where do we say this in our prayers? Mechadesh betuvo bechol yom tamid. Hashem is renewing the world every second, every day. Anew. What do you mean he's renewing the world? It means that if he doesn't think about the world, the world's gone. If he doesn't will the world to exist 1 second, world's gone. So every day he keeps the world alive. That's what it means. What does it mean? If you don't learn Torah, the world's going to die. What do you mean it's not going to?
The subject of constant attention.
Ah, What it means is that Hashem is willing us to exist. Just like you're thinking about things in your dream, you're willing the dream to continue. So, what was your question?
What did you say? So we're the subject of constant
attention. Yes, we are the subject of constant attention. Hashem has to focus on us all the time. Otherwise, the world gone. That's what it means. Hashem is the makom of the world. Hashem sustains the world. The whole world is resting on Hashem's back. Because Hashem is thinking about the world, Hashem keeps the world alive. If Hashem doesn't think about the world, gone. If he removes his attention from creation for a second, and that's what the Prophet Nehemiah says, you are keeping everyone alive. Hashem is keeping us all alive. If Hashem is thinking about us, you're alive. Hashem doesn't, gone. Imagine. He doesn't will you. He doesn't even need a negative will, just doesn't think positive. Boom, gone. So this is the cornerstone of the Jewish faith. That Hashem keeps everything alive, every second. And the Zohar describes Hashem as the soul of all souls. So just like our soul keeps our body alive, Hashem is the soul that keeps the world alive. He's called the neshama of the world. So our soul keeps us alive, Hashem's soul keeps the... Well, what does that mean? Obviously, don't take it literally. Hashem is not a soul. Hashem is nothing. But Hashem is willing the world to exist. Hashem animates and sustains the world. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, can a piece of meat, in those days there's no refrigeration. How do you make the meat last in those days?
Salt.
So meat lasts because of the salt. Can a meat remain for even 3 days without salt, not become spoiled? It is Hashem who gives life to the body. It keeps the body alive. So Hashem, now we can understand the Brit Melach, you know, the covenant of salt. Every korban in the Beit HaMikdash, you have to put salt. Some people put salt on the table. You could put salt on the table for the bread and the salt. What's the significance of the salt? Who is the salt of the world? Hashem is the salt of the world. Hashem keeps the world going. So remember the salt, the covenant of the salt. When you remember salt, you've got to think about Hashem. Number one, we say Hashem, Tzuri V'Goali. Hashem is my rock. In those days, the salt came from rocks. Rock salt. So when you think of the salt, rock. That's the covenant of the Brit Melach. Was Brit Melach? It's forever. The covenant between me and Hashem is forever. The covenant between the Jews and Hashem is forever. And number two is Hashem keeps us going. Hashem is our salt. Hashem is the salt of the earth. Hashem keeps the world alive. So that's the simple explanation. On a deeper explanation, now let's go one more step. This is Rav Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim, chapter 2, in gate 3. Gate 3, chapter 2. He says over here, on a deeper level, the description of Hashem as the place of the world is based on a very profound concept. Hashem is called the place of the world. It's nothing to do with a place, where something resting on the place. So he said the analogy is like a book resting on the table. So he says Hashem, so you can imagine the whole world is resting, the universe is resting on Hashem's table. No, it doesn't work. That's not what it means. So over here, the object has an independent existing, right? The place is just stopping it from falling down. But that's not what Hashem does. He doesn't just stop things from falling down. He actually created the thing on the table and he actually maintains the thing 24/7. So the continued existence of all the words completely on Hashem. So you put a book on the table, the book exists. Whether the table's not here or not, the book is still going to be here. But if the Hashem is not there, the world is not going to exist. That's the difference between a book and the table and Hashem and the world. If Hashem is not willing the world to exist, the world will not exist. Hashem is maintaining the book alive and on the table. Everything. So the continued existence of all the words depends completely on Hashem. If Hashem stops willing the world to exist, it would turn back to nothing, zero. And that's why they call Hashem Hamakom, the place. The place means Hashem is sustaining the world. Hashem is sustaining the world. He made the world existent on His will. Okay, so Hashem is willing the world to exist. Willing the world to exist. The world exists. The world exists. The world exists. Every second. Every second. Otherwise, the world will not exist. So that's why the rabbis gave the name Makom. But really, Makom is an illusion. There's no Makom for Hashem. Right? He's called Makom because the place keeps the thing on the table, but the fact is that the table is not a makom. Hashem is not a table. Hashem is not both the table and the book, and it's keeping everything together. So it's very hard for us, thank you. It's very hard for us to think about this even. So without Hashem keeping the world alive, the world will not continue. And this is what Yirmiyahu Navi says. Yirmiyahu Navi says, in God's words, do I not fill heaven and earth? Realize it today. Ve'idadata Hashem, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim b'shamay mimal v'alaz mitachat. Enod. Hashem is the king. In the world above and the world below, there's no one apart from Hashem. Where is Hashem? Everywhere. You know, the kids sing this in school. Hashem hu po, Hashem hu sham, Hashem. God is here, God is there. God is literally everywhere. Up, down, it's everywhere. What does that mean, everywhere? There's no everywhere. Everywhere means it fills space and beyond. Everything, everything. So, there's nothing in existence at all in the worlds except Hashem's unity. And that's something that's very hard for a human being to grasp. Hashem is everywhere and He's one. The Kabbalists say He's not just one, He's or pashut. Simple. Simplicity. It's very hard to understand what that means because...
Simple but not simple.
Exactly. So that's the hardest part of understanding Kabbalah is how is Hashem be simple? How can Hashem be simple? How can Hashem be... What does it mean simple? It means He's a unity which is a simple unity. There's no parts to it. That's how I understand it. It's a simple unity. It's all about the unity of Hashem. What's the difference between Hashem's unity and my unity? So Rambam says Hashem is... When you say Hashem Echad, God is one, doesn't mean He's one. He's uniquely one like no other oneness. What does that mean? A person is one, but He has many parts. A car is one, but it has many parts. Hashem is one with no parts. It's all unity. That's a simple unity. Simple unity means no pieces. It's all unity. One. And that's what a person is going to think when they say Hashem Echad. Hashem is one like no other oneness. He's unique. That's what it means, one. One means unique. Uniquely one. There's nothing else like Him. And that's what Yirmiyahu says. That's what the Torah says at the end of the Devarim. There's nothing else. There's only Hashem. There's nothing in existence at all except all the world except Hashem's unity. So now we have to understand what that means. So, the person's got to be very careful. What does that mean? Hashem fills all the worlds. That's what it means. The Zohar says Hashem fills all the worlds and surrounds all the worlds. Hashem is both outside the worlds and Hashem is inside the worlds. There's a very interesting Kabbalah. Yeah? The Zohar. So there's a very interesting Kabbalistic concept of simtum.
Withdrawal.
What does it mean, withdrawal?
Meaning making room for
the world to exist. So simtum is you move. Hashem made a room, and He put the world inside the room. Inside. Hashem withdrew, made a space, and He put the world, the universe exists in that space. Okay, that's a Kabbalistic concept. Don't take it literally. And that's what Rav Chaim Voloshin says. He doesn't say... In the English version, it says in the Hebrew version. The Hebrew version is very, very beautiful. This concept of a space for the world is a concept made for us to think for. It doesn't really exist.
Concept for our mind.
It's our minds. Basically.
It's not a real concept.
Now, what does it mean, a concept in the mind? It means He gave us the ability to even deny His presence. He made us able to say there's no God. He withdrew from our minds. He withdrew from our free choice. He left the free choice to us. When it means Hashem withdrew Himself into the space, He withdrew Himself from the space to create human beings, what does it mean? He gave us space for free choice. Not that He's everywhere. Don't take it literally. What it means is, as far as we're concerned, in other words, a person has a choice now to believe. Is Hashem here or not? That's what it means He withdrew. He withdrew to give us the ability to think for ourselves. Which is amazing. It's amazing. Because here we are inside Him, and He's inside us, and we still have the ability to deny Him. That's amazing. I was once at a lecture, and this guy who was talking was a PhD. He was a professor who believed in Hashem, completely believed in Hashem. So someone asked him a question about something. He says, how can you even deny Hashem? He's keeping you alive right now. How can you deny it? How can you deny Hashem? He's keeping you alive. He's keeping the whole world alive. The sun is rising and the blue sky outside and the birds are singing and the trees are growing and you're denying the creator of the world. He got very excited. He got more excited than the rabbi would get excited. Maybe the rabbi should get excited more. You know, get excited. How can you even deny Hashem? He created everything. He created you and you're alive and your heart is beating and how can you deny your creator? Huh? It was in Seattle. So he was a hot-blooded Sephardi professor. And he got mad. He went mad. He said, how can you deny the creator? How can you... It's obvious. I mean, it's such a... But that's the ability. That's what we're talking about. Tzimtzum means Hashem withdrew to the point where we are free. You can choose to do good. You can choose to be bad. You can choose to deny Hashem. You can choose to believe in Hashem. We have the ability. That's what it means. Hashem removed himself. So don't take it literally. Hashem did not remove himself. What he did was he didn't make himself obvious to human beings. That's what it means. He died. He removed himself to the point where, it's interesting, there's a book called Perek Shira. Have you seen it? It's outside. It's just sitting over there. There's a few volumes over there. Huh? It's a very old midrash. Very old. On the rabbinical. Perek Shira puts words into the mouth of all the creatures of the world. The praises the frogs sing. The praises the birds sing. The praises the fish sing. What does that mean? It means just by being flying around, the birds are showing us. Look at Hashem's greatness. Look at Hashem's greatness. Just by seeing a frog, a person would say, wow. You know, yesterday it was such a beautiful day. Yesterday was crazy. Why? It started off such a terrible day. It was cloudy. And then all the clouds go away and it's beautiful. You were outside yesterday? Blue skies. I see, like blue skies. And beautiful. You can smell the flowers. You can smell everything. Marabu Masech Hashem. And then all of a sudden the cows come back and it starts raining. Amazing. But just see how Hashem created. See the design in nature. It's amazing. You see the design. I was telling my wife yesterday. I said, look at the design of the grass. Look at the design of the trees. Look at the flowers. Look at the red. There's the red leaves and there's green leaves and there's blue skies and there's beautiful colors. Look at that. Hashem could have created a black and white world. He could create one person, one woman, one man, one woman, one tree, one river, and that's it. I live like that. I have apples and that's it. He created a masterpiece. And it's a masterpiece that it's not the same masterpiece. So a person plays a picture. The picture's not alive. It's a masterpiece, but it's just one seed of a picture. Here he creates something which changes every day and grows, dies, grows. It's peleplai. Amazing. Amazing. So we have to praise Hashem. That's what we have to do. We have to praise Hashem. When we see these things, we have to praise Hashem. But we have the ability to deny it. That's... So the Shira, what does the Shira mean? The Shira means that when we see it, we have to praise. What does it mean the frog is praising Hashem? It means that when we see a frog, we have to say, wow, how did Hashem create a frog? Look at this. Look at his eye sticking out, and he goes into the water, and he comes on the dry land. We have to see all the wonders of the frog. Right? It says when you go into the zoo and you see strange creatures, you have to say a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Meshaneh HaBriot. He creates different creatures. And in those days, very common. People never saw these days. Saw a monkey for the first time, they said the bracha. Saw an elephant for the first time, they say a bracha. It's like, I've never seen these things. It's amazing. These are wild creatures. So today, we see the pictures. We see on TV. We see on internet. We see elephants. So it's not so wondrous anymore. But a person never saw an elephant in his life. See an elephant. Wow, have you seen an elephant in real life? You know how tall an elephant is? It's like a double-decker bus. People don't realize. Elephant, you see a little model elephant. It's a double-decker bus. I've been on an elephant. It's scary, sitting up so high on top of the elephant. It's like, and the elephant's moving. Guys, scary, scary. If you're scared of heights, don't go on the elephant. Because it's not stable. It's like, you're sitting on a moving platform. And they move pretty fast if they run, these guys. So, scary stuff. And the rider is the guy in control. He's sitting right in front of the elephant. Little stick over there, and he's telling the elephant what to do. Crazy. I've been on a bear. Have you sat on a bear?
Wow.
I sat on a bear. Not because I wanted to sit on the bear. Bear, believe me, I don't want to sit on the bear. They put me on the bear. It's, yeah. But David HaMelech says, I killed the bear and I killed the lion. I'm not scared of anyone. I'm not scared of anything. But Hashem created. So we have to appreciate. We have to see. We have to appreciate. We have to. Hashem fills the world and surrounds the world. So this is from Hashem's perspective. Hashem fills all the worlds, and we, from our Torah perspective, see Hashem. The Torah teaches us to see Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. Where is Hashem? He's everywhere. He's all around us. He's helping us. Because the truth is, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Hashem. The Jews for sure would not be alive today without Hashem. There's no way Jews would exist today, and Israel would exist today without Hashem. There's no way, you see it. The truth is, that from Hashem's perspective, even after creating the world, He fills it. There's nothing else We say in our prayers, En od milvado. Someone gave me a bumper sticker. En od milvado. There's nothing apart from Hashem. Every time we take out the Sefer Torah, Atari taladad, ki atahu alekim, Hashemai mamar, En od milvado. This is from Devarim, in the end of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 35. En od milvado. We say in the Shacharit, Atari shom, atah haron. You are the first one, you are the last one. Bradecha en elokim. And apart from you, there's no God. You're the first and the last, nothing else. There's nothing else in the world except for God. Hashem created us from Him. And therefore everything is Hashem. So the rabbis had this in mind when they compared the connection between Hashem and the world with the bond between the soul and the body. So just like the pure soul resides within the body, so too Hashem, the blessed be He, is pure in His world. So all the soul pervades all parts of the body, so too Hashem is everywhere. Now, trouble is, we can't see our body. We can't see our soul. If we can't even see our soul, how can we see Hashem? Right? You know, the famous story, it says, one of the rabbis was in Rome. And the pagan came to him and says, I want to see your God. Show me your God. So he says, tell me. He says, come to me at noon, in the middle of the afternoon. Noon, 12 o'clock in the night, in the afternoon. 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Come to me 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll show you God. Comes 12 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, no, where's your God? Just look into the sun. Look at the sun. I'll go blind. Look at the sun. It's so bright. It's like, I can't look in the sun. He says, you can't even look in the sun and you want to look at God? You can't even look at the sun which God created and you want to look into God itself? How can you? You go blind. Imagine, you go blind looking at the sun. How much more so you go into the blind looking at the creator of the sun? You can't see God. We can't see God. We can't see our own souls. But what we have to do is start feeling the soul. How do you feel the soul? Soul is your conscience. You feel something telling you this is wrong. That's the soul. Suppose you're going to talk to the soul. Talk to me. So that's David HaMelech says, Biti, my daughter. Who's his daughter? Hashem. The soul. Talk to me. My soul. Talk to me. You communicate with the soul. And that's how a person gets prophecy. Because the messages come from a person's soul. So just like the body may be unclean, but the soul is always pure. Elokai neshama shenatata bi Torah. The first words we say, God, the soul you gave me is pure. So Hashem is everywhere, He's pure. So Hashem is the soul of the world. So from our own perspective, Hashem withdrew from this world. You don't see Hashem. I can't see Hashem. We have the ability to deny Hashem. From our perspective, there's Tzimtzum. But from the real perspective, there's Tzimtzum. Hashem is here. Hashem is here as before. Just we have lost our ability to, the sensitivity to Hashem. So can you imagine? Hashem is here, we can't feel, we can't touch, we can't. We have no idea.
I read something today, they say that Adam Rishon, he could hear the place and after he seen, it was downgraded.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was difficult to really...
Yes. It says there, the Hashem was there, with him in the garden. He knew Hashem was there in the garden. He had a sense of Hashem. When after the fall, David Amel says, where's my help come from? And then he has to say, where's my help? So the person thinks, where's Hashem? Where's my help? As we made Hashem, or say Shemayim Varis, the person's going to think, who made the world? That's my helper. But it takes thought, it takes a question. The person's going to, where's God? And the person says, there's a creator who created the world, He's my God. So the world is Hashem's fingerprints. Where's the fingerprints? Look around you. The stars in the sky, and the sun, and the moon, and the grass, and the trees, everything's growing, and the birds, everything is God's fingerprint. You look at human beings, it's amazing how every human being is different. Amazing, it's a miracle.
The human being is alive all the time.
And he's alive. And kicking and thinking. Oh, dangerous. But we have the ability to deny our Creator. That's amazing. Hashem gave us that ability. That's him. So that's what Rabbi Chaim Voloshin says. That is the idea of Simpson. So we think with our senses, this is the real world. We can touch things, we see it. I can't see God, so it's not real. And that's what the pagans believed. The only God which is real is a God that I can see and touch. If I can't see and touch God, it doesn't exist. So Jews are what? Atheists. Because they believe in a God who's invisible. It means that became mockery. Oh, what do you mean? Where's your God? Can't see my God. You can't see my God? You mean you don't believe in God. Because the only God that exists is the one you can touch. So Judaism is very advanced in a sense that just like there are things that you can't see. Today we know. Can you see gravity?
No.
No. But we know there's gravity. How come?
You feel it.
You feel it.
You can jump.
Can you see radio waves?
No.
No. But how do you know they're there? Just turn on the radio. So we know there's all the different parts of this spectrum. Electromagnetic spectrum. Parts of the, there's only a small part of the spectrum that we can see. Right? Daylight you can see. That's a part of the spectrum you can see. But most of the spectrum you can't see. There's dark energy and there's light energy you can't see. Infrared and ultraviolet. And there's all kinds of parts of energy you can't see. It's called black body radiation. You heard of black body radiation? Black body radiation you can't see. That's the hot part. So that's the part we can't see. That's why it's called black. So too we can't see Hashem. We know today there's things you can't see. We know there's energies you can't see. Sometimes you can't even feel the energy. You go for an X-ray machine. Do you feel anything? You feel anything? You been for an X-ray? Anyone been for an X-ray?
No.
You need? You been? You feel anything?
No.
So what happened? How do you know something happened? And the answer is because they look at the film and they see this. Hey, they see the picture of your bones. They can see. But you don't feel it. It's interesting. But today we know there are things there that you don't can't see. So much easier for us to believe in it. Can you imagine? 3,500 years ago, Abraham Avinu said, there's Hashem. Prove it to me. You can't see it. All you can see is the effects that Hashem had. Hashem created what Hashem created. So if something was created, who created it? It must be a creator. That's how we figured out. There must be a creator. Today we know there's things that you can't see that exist. So for us it's much easier to believe in a God that you can't see. It's much easier for us. But Hashem created, and what for us, He moved away. We have to fight Him now. As if He's not there right now, because we can't see, we can't touch, we can't feel. So for us it's a symptom, but for the world there's no symptom. He's there. He's here every second of the day. He's here 24/7, but we can't feel it with our eyes. We can't see it physically, feel it. We have to think. We believe. We know there's a God. So all the divine names, this is exactly what the Rambam says. All the divine names of Hashem apply to Hashem only from a human perspective. Ha'el, ha'gadol, ha'gibor, ha'nara, el, elyon. All these are from human perspective. There's no name to really define Hashem. How can you define Hashem? There's nothing to define it. So all these things are from a human perspective. It's very important. And that's what Rambam says something else. Rambam says, Hashem gave us these names so that we have something to address it with. Because Hashem did us a favor. How are you going to talk to me? You have no way of knowing who I am. So I'll give you a mechanism. I'll give you the 13 attributes. But really, Hashem doesn't have attributes. These are attributes that we need to have. Hashem wants us to copy the attributes that we need to have. So this is all from our perspective. So Hashem can do whatever He wants, obviously. Hashem can push Himself into the smaller spaces. For example, Hashem spoke to Moshe from between the Kiruvim. I mean, we have to understand that. Don't take it literally. He can speak for the person from the hairs of his head. If Hashem puts a voice, He can put a voice anywhere in the world. He can... Today we know there's a speaker system. You put a speaker over here, hide the speaker. You have all these Bluetooth today. Bluetooth speakers. Hashem can make a Bluetooth speaker without a Bluetooth. Without a speaker. Nothing. Just the what is noise? Vibration of the molecules in space. So the molecules start vibrating and that's you hear voices. And best of all, Hashem can speak to you in your head. You don't even have to go anywhere. You don't have to hear anything.
What is it when they say a button? Something that everyone...
Very good question. And the answer is, the Gemara says, every day a bat call comes from Chorev. Chorev, from Sinai. There's a bat call coming every day from Mount Sinai. What does it say? Oy le'olam elbona shel Torah. Woe to the world from the disgrace of the Torah. Tell me people are learning Torah. You hear it? I don't hear it. You hear it? That means what bat call means no one can hear it. Except for the very few people who can hear it. You got to tune into the butt call. It's like tuning your radio. If you don't tune the radio right, you don't hear anything. So too, we have to tune into Hashem's signal. Hashem's sending signals all the time. It's like, you see, every event in history is a signal to someone. What's going on in the world is a signal. So you see what's going on, you have to pray. It's a signal to us to pray. So some people hear the signal, some people don't hear the signal. Everything in our lives is a signal to us. Wake up, do teshuvah, do this. I like you, I don't like you. Hashem's sending signals. So it's very important. Okay. All the mitzvot in the Torah are based on the concept that there definitely are different places in the world. The different degrees of holiness in the world. We know there's a famous Mishnah in Kelim. There are 10 different levels of holiness. Okay? 10 different levels of holiness in Israel itself. So everywhere you go, there's different levels of holiness. What does that mean? Does that mean Hashem is here more than here, or here more than there? The answer is no. Hashem is everywhere. So who makes it holy? We make it holy. What we make holy is holier. Does that mean Hashem is here more than no? It means Hashem is everywhere, but we designate this place holy. The synagogue is holy because we made it holy. Yes. Not Har Habayit, but the Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash. Holy, holy. Kodesh, Kodesh. So all the bits of the Torah are that there's different places. Some places are clean. Say walking down the street. If the place is clean, it's clean. If the place is dirty, you can't pray there. So there's different levels of cleanliness and holiness. The bathroom, you can't think of divrei Torah in a bathroom, right? But where is Hashem? Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is everywhere. There's no limits to Hashem's presence. So we are limited, but Hashem is unlimited. Okay. Even the angels don't know where Hashem is. Ayeh mekom kibodo. Where is his holy place? We say in the Kedusha. Where is his holy place? And what is the answer? Baruch Hashem. What is his name? Baruch kibod. Huh? Baruch kibod Hashem. Come on. Blessed be the glory of Hashem. In his place. Wherever his place is. We don't know where it is. Wherever it is. But the truth is everywhere. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.